If I thought you weren't my friend, I just don't think I could bear it.
Okay, welcome back to Butler on Business. Jason, tell the audience a little bit about Mickey.
Well, Mickey, he's a certified professional geologist and mining analyst. He covers the rare earth element sector in particular. Mickey has well over 30 years of experience as an exploration geologist. He's searched for economic deposits of base metals and precious metals, industrial minerals, and just about all over the world.
All right, Mickey, how you doing? Thanks for joining us again today.
Well, thanks for having me once again, Alan.
Oh, well, everybody enjoyed your segment the last time you were on, and it's mercenarygeologist.com. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do out of that website?
Well, I write a newsletter, and I do radio and TV interviews, and I cover a broad range of topics, macroeconomics, commodities. I'm a libertarian, so I write about that. I write about geopolitics. And I also cover stocks that I am involved with. In other words, stocks that I hold. Some of them sponsor my websites. It's a free subscription, so I make my money through my sponsors. But we try to pick stocks that have a good chance of doubling in 12 months or less. And we've been very successful at doing that over the last 3 years.
Well, could you tell the audience a little bit about those rare earth elements?
Well, rare earth elements are kind of, if you remember your high school chemistry, the bottom of the periodic table, a separate row, 17 elements, 16 or 17, depending on how you want to classify them, but they're used extensively in high-tech and green tech applications. China controls the world supply, and there is increasing concern in the West about security of supply, so there's a movement afoot to get some deposits going in North America, and we have very well endowed in rare earth element deposits.
Now, one of the websites that I get emails from talk about that these rare earth elements is one way that China can wreak havoc on our economy. I don't know which website it is that sends me those emails, but is there any truth behind that?
Well, I'm not sure they can wreak havoc on our economy through rare earth elements, but certainly there are defense applications, and that's of concern with the U.S. military. Most of the things rare earths are used for, I would call discretionary items, cell phones, computers, iPods, things such as this. So, you know, we could get by without those things. We would not function as well, or we might be carrying around Gordon Gecko-sized cell phones versus the little ones we have in our pockets now.
How would our listeners who, I mean, most people I know, they know the precious metals, gold, silver. They know how to get into equities. Some of them now are venturing into commodities, but the space that you operate in is probably new to most people. How would you recommend they go about investing in the space that has become your love of life?
Well, there are several ways. Moly Corp is a New York Stock Exchange listed company, and it at one time had the world's largest deposit at Mountain Pass. Chinese kind of forced them out of business by cutting prices in the early 1990s. So you might consider Moly Corp on the New York Stock Exchange. Some other relatively high-flying stocks that are exploring but not producing right now, stocks that I like, would include Rare Element Resources on the AMEX, Quest Rare Minerals on the AMEX exchange, and then Tasman Metals Limited. It currently trades on the Toronto, but it will have an AMEX listing in the next couple of 3 months.
Is there an ETF for the rare element space?
There is, but it's not a pure rare earth element ETF. And I've looked at this ETF, and I'm not very fond of it. It's a basket of metals companies dominated in large part by molybdenum and rare earths, but there's a nickel producer in there, so it's not a pure rare earth element ETF, and I have to say I'm not fond of ETFs as investment vehicles for individuals to begin with. There's a variety of reasons for that. I could probably go into a rant about that, but maybe we leave that for another time.
Okay. Now, you also follow the base metals?
I do, yeah. I pretty much cover all commodities, with the exception I don't really dabble much in soft commodities other than knowing general trends. But, I do metals and industrial minerals and energy, oil and gas, uranium, et cetera.
Could you explain to the audience what we mean by the base metals?
Yeah, base metals would be industrial metals with very wide uses. So it would not include what it would be the ferrous minerals, iron, and the alloys that are specific to iron, but it includes things like copper and lead and zinc and aluminum and things that are what I would call critical metals, those that are necessary for society to function as it does today.
Is there any particular base metal right now that you're particularly attracted to?
Well, I'm always attracted to copper. Copper, as I think we talked about last time, is known as the having a PhD in economics. So the world's economic health is often tracked by the copper price. Copper is very high right now. It's trading somewhere around $4.31 on the LME futures. That's up from 408 a couple of weeks ago when he talked. Copper is very dependent on the health of the world's economy, but you probably don't want to go out and buy physical copper on the LME or the COMEX exchanges. A way to play copper would be to play the best, in my mind, the best mining company in the world, and that'd be Freeport McMoRan.
So FCX, isn't that the
ticket? Yeah,
FCX, yeah.
Now, so that's a way to play copper. You know, the playing the commodities market and the futures market is it's very risky, and these base metal markets, in fact, all commodity markets are very risky and driven by speculation. So it is not something that I do, and I would never suppose to tell anybody they should do it. I do know lots of commodity traders that are very successful, and they have individual investors, but it's a whole nother ballgame that I would rather play the stock market myself.
Well, I used to buy copper in an industrial capacity, so I watched it closely. I think the last time you and I spoke, I told you I remember paying in around the $60.68 range for copper, and of course that's when we could buy hot dip galvanized draw quality steel for 30 cents. I mean, relative to where it was now, aluminum was, you know, always kind of running a range of 85 to, you know, about $1.20, and then copper of course was much higher. How much of this rise in the copper price do you think is because of global demand, and how much is because of the devalued dollar?
Well, I think it's driven by Chinese demand, or projected Chinese demand. The weakness of the U.S. dollar has a significant effect on the copper price, as you would expect, with devalued dollars. But really, this market's driven by speculation. It always has been. Right now, we've got this new physical copper ETF, which we alluded to last time. By the way, you asked me the stock symbol. It's PHCU, physical copper PHCU. It's London Stock Exchange listed, so it's difficult for Americans to play that game. I think a lot of the present copper price, very high copper price, is not supported by supply-demand fundamentals at this point, and it's driven by the fact that this copper ETF has skewed the market. And we saw that previously with when the gold ETF was launched, I think in 2003. We saw that when the platinum palladium physical ETFs were launched in somewhere around 2008. And I think that's a lot to do with the high price of copper right now.
Mickey, listen, I appreciate your time today. Jason, tell them how the audience can get in touch with Mickey's website again.
Yeah, it's mercenarygeologist.com. That's the best way to get in touch with Mickey and learn about everything he has to say. And he's got some great newsletters coming out, so I encourage everybody to go check it out.
Mickey, got any parting shots before we let you go?
Well, I'll just say that everything I do is free to subscribers, so I encourage the listeners to check out what I've done. We've picked 17 stocks in the last 2.5 years, and 16 of those have doubled in 12 months or less.
Thank you very much. Look forward to talking to you again soon.
Likewise, Alan. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mickey. This is Alan Butler, Butler on Business. We'll be back shortly.